And so today I want to talk about something that maybe seems a little elementary, but also I think it's maybe something that is meant for the mature as well. I want to talk about listening to the shepherd's voice. Listening to the shepherd's voice. So here we go. In John chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, it says this. It says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." I'm going to read that one more time. "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Lord, speak to us this morning. God, open our hearts to the things that you have for us this morning. I thank you for the blessing of your voice. I thank you for the authority of your voice, God. I thank you that you know the sheep by name and that they know your voice, God. And I pray today, maybe there are some people here this morning that have been trying to listen for your voice and they can't seem to hear it. God, I pray today that you'll speak to them clearly and that you'll speak to them concisely and that they'll be able to hear your voice this morning, God. Hear your voice, whatever you're calling them to, whatever you're calling them away from, whatever you're calling them into, God, I pray that they will hear your voice and that when they hear your voice, God, I pray that they will be obedient, knowing that you go before them and that you lead them, Father. You don't push them, but you lead them. In your holy name, God, we ask these things. Amen. I was thinking about leftovers, and man, how many of you guys like leftovers? Raise your hand. Man, you like leftovers, Mitchell? You like leftovers? You Elizabeth, you like? Yep. I feel like growing up, I was maybe I had leftovers too much. Hopefully, my mom isn't listening to this today, but I feel like I had leftovers too much. You know, we would have hamburgers one day, and then the next day we'd have tacos, which would be leftover hamburger meat. And then the next day we would have like a goulash. Do you guys know what goulash is? Where it's like a mixture of a bunch of different things. And so my mom was, bless her heart, you know, there was six kids, and I had five sisters, and bless her heart, but she really knew how to stretch a meal. You know, if there was a meal that was one, you know, she'd stretch hamburger meat from, like, instead of one meal, it'd become three meals and four meals. And bless her heart, she was fantastic at leftovers. I think some things are really good as leftovers. I think, is it just me or does chili taste better the second day? Doesn't it? Yes, Paul agrees. I feel like even pizza is kind of good. Do you guys like leftover pizza, like cold pizza? Is that kind of weird? No, Paul says no. Yeah, you kind of like it. Lasagna is actually really good when you heat it up and it's like kind of crusty-ish. Yeah, yes, it's like kind of gross but good at the same time. It's like it's like chewing into an egg or something. Liz says no. Aaron and I went to this. We were going down to visit my parents, or going up and over to Minnesota. We stopped at this place called Max, and it was all mac and cheese. It was kind of cool. And so they had like a smaller plate and a bigger plate, and then they had all different types of mac and cheese. And so I got this mac and cheese it was mac and cheese and had pulled pork on it. It's actually really good. So I had it, but I got it, instead of getting like a smaller thing, I got like a bigger thing. And I ate like half of it. And I don't know, like, I guess I was looking, maybe I was just really hungry because it was late at night. I was looking at it, I'm like, yeah, big plate sounds good. But the big plate was like massive. So I get the mac and cheese, and We drive the rest of the way, and we get to Minnesota late. I think it was like 11 o'clock at night or something. It was real late because we stopped in Wisconsin at like 8 or 9, so maybe it was later than that. And so we have the mac and cheese with the pulled pork. I ate half of it, and then I put it in the fridge. And the next day, my mom made food, and we went out. I think we went to the Pizza Ranch. I don't know. We did all. But I let it wait like 3 days, and then I went to go eat it, and it had turned into like a solid glob of. It was just a glob of. I couldn't even tell where the noodles were. It was like all. Like sucked together and so I tried to heat it up and I tried to mix it up and it was really bad. So I ended up not eating it, but I think there are some things that maybe are good as leftovers, but there are certain things that maybe aren't so great as leftovers. And I think sometimes we rely on other people's revelation of God for ourselves. We rely on God speaking to other people for ourselves. So we might come to church and we're like, oh, Pastor Evan is holy and righteous and awesome. And you listen to me and I deliver the word to you and you're like, oh my goodness, that's so amazing. Which is amazing. Hopefully you guys feel that way. But that only goes so far. Like leftovers are cool and all, but there's a point I feel where we have to grab on to the Word of God ourselves. We have to grab on to Scripture ourselves and allow God to speak to us clearly, and we have to allow God to reveal Himself to us fully. You know what I'm talking about? And so there's a point, I think, in our spiritual walk where God calls us to jump into the meat of the Word, where He calls us to jump into prayer, and He calls us to jump into the Bible for ourselves instead of something that maybe our parents are giving us, instead of something that maybe we heard online or something maybe that our pastor is telling us. You know what's crazy? Because when you think about it, I was thinking about this message, and when you think about it, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, it's awesome, isn't it? It's amazing. You come into this relationship with Jesus, and his call is for everyone, so all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We come into this relationship with Him. And when we come into relationship with Him, we become part of the family of God. Did you realize that this morning? That when you decide to follow Jesus, it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, consequently, and he's talking to people that were far off, he said, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household. Which is awesome. So when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you become part of the family of God. You become part of the family of the church, which is amazing. But also what's amazing is that when you become a follower of Jesus, in Scripture it says that the Holy Spirit, He comes and He resides inside of you. Right? Now when we hear about the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes we think about, oh, you know, the third person of the Trinity. We might think the Holy Spirit is, you know, maybe kind of the lesser of. But when we think about it, when the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, he resides in us with power and authority and magnificence. Like the Holy Spirit is residing in us and He guides us. So some things He might speak to us, and He might speak to us, and there might be certain things that he gives us a, He might tell us to stop with. Have you ever been there before where you're about to do something, and you have this quickening in your spirit where the Spirit's like, no, you shouldn't do that? Anyone? Yeah. As I was just about getting ready to do that, and I just had this, there's a quickening in my spirit that told me to stop. There are other times where maybe you're going to do something and it's like maybe not quite a full stop, but it's like almost like a yield sign where you're waiting and you're kind of anticipating, I don't know if I should, I kind of feel like I should, but I don't know if I should, and I'm kind of caught in, have you ever been there before, where you're searching scripture and you're like, I think that this is maybe what the Lord is leading me to do, but I'm a little bit nervous about doing, and it's almost like almost not like a full stop, but like a little bit of a yielding. And then I think that there are other times when God speaks, and it's like a green light. Have you ever had that before, where it's like you're in front of someone at the grocery store, and maybe it turned from a yellow to a green, like you think, maybe I should pay for the person behind me, and then you're like, you know, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to step out, I'm going to bless the person behind me, and it was just like this green light where you did it, and after you did it, you just knew, it's like almost you're following the peace of the Lord. Ever been there before? The peace of the Lord. I remember when I was younger, I think I've shared this story a couple times, when I was younger, I was kind of in a little bit of a, like I kind of knew what I wanted to do with my life, but I was also maybe not entirely sure what I wanted to do with my life, and I was kind of in that green light area where I felt like God was calling me into ministry, but at the same time, I felt like God was maybe calling me into doing computer graphics, and I was kind of in this limbo between the two. And I remember I ended up yielding to the Lord, following him, and saying, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'll follow you. And it was like this yellow light turned into a green light, and the peace of the Lord just followed my decision. And maybe you felt like that before, and I want to encourage you that if you felt the quickening of the Holy Spirit in your life, whether it's been to stop or to yield or to go, that's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Lord ministering to your heart. That's the Holy Spirit and all of his power and all of his authority and all of his magnificence communicating with you, right? Like you don't, like when we become a part of the family of God and his Spirit resides in us, his Spirit communicates to our spirit. And we become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Lord speaking. Where did I go? Where am I going? But his Spirit, it convicts us, it challenges us, it molds us. And I think sometimes we have to remember not to ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because his Spirit is guiding us and speaking to us. Really, from Genesis through Revelation, I think we can see that God is speaking, he's ministering, and God is still speaking here in the text. He says, in John chapter 10, verse 26, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I was thinking about, so when we look at the text, there's a couple of interesting things. I'm going to go back to the text for a minute. It says, again, in verse 2, it says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep listen to his voice. So, when we read the text, we can see, first of all, that there's a gate. The gate is the shepherd, and he's actually calling the shepherd the gate of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He who enters, there's some authority here by the shepherd, and the shepherd is Jesus, and the sheep are us, right? I wrote down the shepherd's authority, he who enters by the gate. I think the door represents really divine appointment and legitimacy. When Jesus came, he didn't come to the people through deception or self-promotion, but he came through divine appointment and by the will of the Father, the shepherd's authority. The shepherd is Jesus, and the gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd and opens it to him. God's purpose and Christ, this is like talking about God's purpose and Christ's mission. Not every voice claiming to be from God has heavenly authority. Before you follow the voice, does it come through the door? Does it come through Jesus? If it doesn't align with his character, if it doesn't align with his word, it's not from him. Jesus is contrasting himself, the true shepherd, with false teachers from the day. Now, hopefully this isn't going to be too scandalous for you guys, but I hate to break it to you, there's a lot of false teachers out there today. There's lots of false gospels going around today. There's lots of, in fact, there was a guy who is has a base in Taylor, also has a base down in Florida, who recently got indicted by the FBI because he was doing some wild things with ministry stuff. He's claiming that he can see Jesus face to face. He's claiming that he had divine appointments. He's claiming that he has some golden tablets that he was able to read. He was using ministry funds for a lavished lifestyle. He was buying boats and jet skis. Ah, cool. And other things with ministry funds. And it's crazy to me because, so I work at the, and I don't want to get in too much trouble here, but I work right up at the bank right up the street. And I've had a lot of his followers come into the bank just totally believing everything that he says. But he doesn't align with Jesus. He doesn't align with the gospel. He doesn't align with the fundamentals of the faith. He doesn't align with orthodoxy. I think a lot of times you can tell a false prophet from a real one because a false prophet will often point to themselves, but a real one will point to Jesus. A false prophet will talk about themselves and they'll talk about all the ways that they can gain money financially here, power here, but a real shepherd is someone that protects the sheep, and a real shepherd is someone that points you to Jesus. And hopefully you guys feel like I'm always pointing you to Jesus and it's never to me. Right? The shepherd's authority. The shepherd enters through the gate the right way. The gatekeeper recognizes the shepherd and opens the door to him. It's interesting because when you read the text, it almost seems like there are other people in the fold, and there's other voices that a lot of times we can hear in the fold. And I just wrote down some things that God's voice will always do. And maybe you're here this morning, you've been struggling with the voice of God. Maybe you've been hearing other voices in your head. Maybe you've been hearing other people saying things to you or other people trying to point you in other directions. I was just talking to a guy the other day who called me on the phone, and he was telling me that he's been going through some really hard things, and he was telling me that he had an audible voice tell him some very scary things and tell him some things that were very contrary to Scripture. And he's like, do you think this was from God or do you think this was from somebody else? And so I was just thinking about the voice of God. And again, maybe you're here this morning and you've been struggling with some voices. First of all, I think God's voice always aligns with Scripture. It always aligns with Scripture. If you have someone that comes to you and they're telling you all sorts of crazy stuff that are all off the beaten path, that are all over the place, if someone's telling you that you need to give them money so that they can buy a jet ski, again, his voice always aligns with Scripture. God cannot contradict himself. Truth is truth. The word is the word. If someone is giving you a word that's separate, you think about this crazy guy down in Waco, Texas, many years ago, who came in and he's like, hey, listen, I think that there's an issue with you guys here, and there's some issue with your pride, and so you need to give me all your money. We need to move into this commune, and then all of you need to give me your wives. Okay, that is totally against Scripture. God's voice always aligns with Scripture, and in the book of Galatians, Paul also warned about this, okay? He said, hey, listen, even if an angel from heaven should come to you and preach to you a gospel other than the one that you already received, let him be eternally condemned. He says, as I've already said, I'm going to say it again. He says this in Galatians chapter 2, I believe it, 2, 1 or 2. He says, if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one that you've already received, let him be eternally condemned. So listen, there's lots of voices going on right now. There's lots of shepherds walking around right now. And I want to encourage you that God's voice will always, always, always align with Scripture. God's voice will also draw you closer to Him. It's going to draw you closer to Him. When He speaks, man, it might be kind of scary because you're like, wait a minute, I'm not sure if this... I remember when God spoke to me and He called me into ministry, I'm like, I've never done this before. I'm scared of people. I'm scared of kids. I'm scared of leaving Minnesota. I'm scared of leaving my mom. I've been homeschooled my whole life. I don't exactly know what to do, right? But when he calls, it might require faith, but it draws us closer to him. When he speaks, maybe he wants you to go across the street and talk to that spooky neighbor who had all that crazy Halloween stuff up. Like, it's kind of scary, but when he speaks, it always draws you closer to him. And when you step out in faith, when you step out and maybe there's a little bit of fear there, that's where your faith kicks in. It always draws you closer to him. Maybe when God speaks, Amy, he tells you that he needs you to talk at our lot party in the summer. You were nervous, you were a little bit scared, but when you stepped out in faith, it drew you closer to him. Am I right? When God speaks, it draws you closer to Jesus. God's voice always also, so first of all, it aligns with Scripture, it draws us closer to Jesus, and God's voice also encourages obedience. And sometimes it's just a window of obedience, you know? Sometimes that obedience lingers, but sometimes it's a window where he speaks. He's like, I want you to bless someone. He speaks, I want you to just speak up against wrong. Sometimes it's just a window. But when God speaks, many times he requires, I don't like this word, but I'm going to use it anyways, immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. God's voice will always align with Scripture. It'll always draw us closer to Jesus. It encourages immediate obedience. And this other one, I think, as well, is that it leads us towards peace, not confusion. The guy who called me the other day was like, all confused, trying to figure out these weird words he's hearing in the middle of the night. It's like, that was not a voice of the Lord. The Lord doesn't bring confusion, but he brings clarity when he speaks. He brings clarity. In confusion, God speaks and he brings clarity. In the storm, God speaks and he brings safety. In the wildness, he speaks and he points us into the right direction. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The voice of the Lord. I think it's important that we listen to the shepherd's voice. I think the ultimate result of having a relationship with Jesus, when we're part of his family, when the Holy Spirit resides in us, the third person of the Trinity, and all and the Godhead and all of its power and authority and splendor, when that happens, it's important that we hear the voice of the shepherd. And this is crazy. Every time you sit down, every time you read the Word of God, God is speaking. Did you know that? For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, to penetrate even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Every time you sit down and read the Word of God, God is speaking. When you come to church, guess what? God is probably speaking. When you sit down at school or you sit down at home and you share, God is speaking. And I think we should come to church, or we should come to the Bible with an expectation that God is speaking. Tozer said this: "Only those who expect to hear from God will." I find that interesting because I think that often when we don't think God is speaking, then we assume that when God is speaking, it's something else. We assume that maybe we ate something bad for dinner. We assume that maybe, you know, that was just a coincidence. We assume. But when we know that God is speaking and we go into a spot where we know that God is speaking, in that expectation, God definitely will. Every time God speaks, he speaks to us, and he speaks to us. It says that he knows them by name. I love that. He knows us by name. And God can use anyone at any time to speak to you. A donkey, a pillar of fire, a cloud, anyone. It's interesting. I was doing a little bit of study about the shepherd. And the way that it would work back in ancient times, I guess, in biblical times, is that a shepherd would be leading his sheep. And I actually brought my staff today. Here we go. So I got this this was my present when I first took over the church, and I can't read the date. June 14th, 2017. Yeah. So this makes me feel powerful right now. But the way that that it would work in ancient biblical times, in ancient times, is that there would be a shepherd, and he would be in charge of his sheep. And a shepherd, according to Wikipedia, could have up to 100 sheep. Okay? Good amount of sheep. And so the shepherd would walk around, and he would do what a shepherd's do, you know, walk around. And he would lead the sheep, and the sheep would know him. They'd know his persona, his body language. They'd know his voice. And so they just followed the shepherd, and the shepherd would take the staff and... I was going to ask you guys to follow me, but no, that'd be a little bit too weird. So he'd walk, and they'd follow the shepherd, and he would lead them, and they would follow him wherever he would go. And they would have folds, where essentially what a fold was is a spot for the sheep and the shepherd to rest. And it would be kind of a big area, and what the people would do, the shepherds would do, is they would... take a bunch of rocks or sticks or whatnot, and they would make almost like a barrier around a piece of property, and they'd put the rocks up and the sticks up, and they'd build it all the way around except the opening of the fold. So imagine like a fenced-in area that was made of rocks, maybe up on a hill somewhere, and the opening of the fold wouldn't have a door. Actually, what would happen would be the shepherd would just go and sit in the entrance of the fold. And the sheep wouldn't go past the shepherd. They knew they knew that was the barrier, and so the sheep would all go. And so the shepherd would lead them into the fold. The sheep would run around the fold and have fun, and then you know he would stand in the entrance. And then when it was time for the sheep to go, he would leave, and the sheep would follow the shepherd. Well, a lot of these folds were outside of small towns and villages, and so what would happen would be that these folds would be accompanied by more than one shepherd. You following me? So instead of one shepherd and 100 sheep being in the fold, there could be up to 10 shepherds, and there could be up to 1,000 sheep in the fold. Okay? You follow me? So, but the fold really represented a spot of safety and protection and peace in the fold. And so what would happen would be the shepherds would go, maybe the fold was a little ways out of town. All the shepherds, they could have up to 10 shepherds that would go, and they would go in the fold. And one of the shepherds would stay behind in the fold, and the other shepherds would go into town and maybe eat, take a nap, rest. And maybe they'd come back the next day, and then the one shepherd that was there was just keeping watch over the flock at night. You see this, and the shepherds were in the fields nearby keeping watch over the flock at night. The Christmas story, right? And so... So one shepherd would be there. And so one shepherd would be there, and there could be 1,000 sheep. They'd be sitting down, they'd be sleeping, eating grass, doing whatever. And one of the shepherds would come back up from the town the next day, walk up to the fold, to the entrance, and he would call his sheep. And all the sheep knew the shepherd well enough that they would stand up, separate themselves from the other sheep, and follow the shepherd. Isn't that crazy? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. How did they know his voice? Why did they listen to the shepherd? Because they knew the sound of his voice. You know, sheep aren't great at a lot of things. They're actually kind of slow in many ways. We had sheep growing up as a kid. Sheep aren't great at a lot of things, but they're experts at knowing the voice of their shepherd. They're experts at knowing the voice of their shepherd. And just like those sheep, we're surrounded by many voices. Many voices. If you talk to Oprah, she'll tell you that her beliefs are a blend of Christianity and New Thought principles. She'll tell you that there's many, many ways to heaven. If you talk to Dr. Oz, he will tell you that our connection with God is personal and mystical. There's lots of voices, culture, temptation, even sometimes our very own thoughts. But maturity in Christ means learning to tune our hearts to the shepherd's voice. And when Jesus calls, when Jesus speaks, it says that he knows the sheep by name. So it's not like he comes into a place and is like, hey people, get up. But he knows us by name. He's like, Chase, Truett, Amy, Dean, Vernon, Elizabeth, Bella, Rachel, Miguel, Nikki Poo, Lindsay, Faith, Becky, Stephen, Tom, Donovan, Judy, and the rest of all of you guys back there. He calls us by name. His call is personal. His call is intimate. His call is real. His Holy Spirit is residing in us, speaking to us, ministering to us. We're part of the family of God. He wants to communicate with us. Tune out the noise. Open your Bibles. Come to church. Be in expectation of God speaking and see how he speaks to you today. Sometimes he might say, I want you to stop. This isn't the right way. You need to stop. You've been going this way. You've been seeing this gal, and she is not the right fit for you. I've been telling you this for a long time. She's a Jezebel. Stay away from her, right? Like, sometimes it's stop. Sometimes it's, ooh, hold on. I need to pause. I need to think. I need to wait. Maybe now's not the time. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Like, I need to wait. I need to hold on. I need to pause. And sometimes he says, listen, I want you to follow me immediately. You have the green light. There's the person that needs truth spoken to them. There's the person that needs the blessing. There's the person that needs to understand the love of the Lord. You need to move immediately. Sometimes there's a window. But God is speaking. Are we listening? Are we going to be obedient? We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. God, we come before you today, knowing that you're good, knowing that you are the good shepherd, knowing that you lead us and that you guide us, knowing that you go before us. You're not like the hired hand that pushes from behind, but you go before us. And God, we thank you for the promises of your word. I pray maybe there are some people here this morning that have been struggling with the voice of the Lord. God, may you speak to them clearly. May you speak to them effectively. May you speak to them and may they listen. May they tune aside. May they tune out all the noise of society, all the voices, all the false prophets, all the false shepherds, and may they dive into your word, knowing that your word is true, knowing that your promises are yes and amen. God, may you speak to us as we continue to worship in your holy name. Amen.